Om Shanti. Today is 10th of March 2018, Saturday. The magic of blessings. The blessing from today's Sakar Murli. May you give respect to everyone by having self-respect and being humble and thereby become a soul who is worthy of being worshipped. The children who maintain imperishable self-respect, Avinashi Swaman, become worthy of worship souls. However, to the extent that you have self-respect, you must also remain humble. Let there be no arrogance in your self-respect. Do not think that you have become elevated and that others are juniors, and you have the feeling of dislike for them too. No. No matter what those souls are like, regard everyone with mercy, not arrogance. Such humble souls would regard everyone with soul-conscious vision and regard everyone with elevated vision and give them respect. They would not disrespect souls. So this is today's Vardhan. Baba is saying, you have to maintain imperishable self-respect, but that doesn't mean that you become arrogant. That doesn't mean that you start belittling others. That doesn't mean that you think that you are elevated and others are not elevated. There shouldn't be such superiority complex. Soman doesn't mean that. Soman is something different. So rather such souls would remain humble and they would regard everyone with soul conscious vision and they would regard everyone with elevated vision and give them respect. They would not disrespect. They would not insult souls in any way. In Zen philosophy, there was one saint, a Zen master. Her name was Rengistu. And she was a wandering saint. She used to roam from one place to another, wander from one village to another village. Once she reached a village that was totally a Buddhistic area where she used to be. But within the Buddhism, Zen itself is revolutionary because Zen doesn't regard most of the traditions, most of the fundamentals which are there in Buddhism. It's a sort of revolt within the Buddhism. So people did not respect Zen much. And she was a Zen master. So when she arrived in one village, it was already evening. And she did not have anything, any place for lodging. So she started knocking at the doors. But everybody who saw her, they just slammed the door on her. They didn't allow her to sleep in their house, though she pleaded, but they did not allow. It was very cold weather, and it was about to get dark. And so she wanted to some place to for her lodging at night, but many villages, or almost all the villages, they didn't allow her. So as a result, she had to move out of that village. And there was a jungle outside. And it was dark. It was scary. It was very biting cold that time. And with no resort to any other place, she had to spend her whole night in that dark forest. As she was lying, because she couldn't get anything to sleep, so there was a cherry tree, and she just slept below that tree. It was a dark night. There was dark darkness outside. There was utter silence, and starry sky, and moon was beaming, and that cherry tree, and the rustling of the leaves, and the mild and the gentle breeze that was blowing. And in that scenic beauty, she was just lying down, tired as she was. And it was almost dead of the night. Then suddenly, while she was looking up, she had one divine experience there. She was not reading any scripture. She was not churning any knowledge. She was just lying like that. And in that sibilance of night, in that pin drop silence of night, suddenly she experienced out of the body experience. Suddenly she became detached from her body. She got lost in that beauty what she was seeing outside. And she feels as if, how nice it is that I am here this night. Had I been given lodging by some of the villagers, I would have missed this beauty which I am seeing here. Such a beautiful sky, such a beautiful moon, such a moonlight. Otherwise I would never even imagine to have such beautiful experience. So while sitting there, while reclining there in near that tree, suddenly she gets that out of the body experience and she is ecstatic. She goes into that rapturous bliss-like stage and suddenly she feels a sense of gratitude. Till now she was having a little bit of feeling of having been hurt by those villagers, because those villagers didn't allow her to give a lodging, didn't allow her to a place in their houses. So now that complaining attitude was totally gone and she took a different attitude of mind. Suddenly, this is in spirituality known as transport. Transport is a one spiritual word. It means a divine experience. She is transported all of a sudden with that experiences. Totally internal metamorphosis or transformation occurs. And till now, what complaining attitude she has, now that is gone, and suddenly she starts feeling gratitude. She gets up and starts singing and she starts dancing, and she rushes in that dead of the night in the same villages. She knocks the door and she tells all the villages, thanks that you didn't allow me. Because of you only I got such a divine experience tonight. So, rather than that complaining attitude, rather than that attitude of arrogance that I am so big and these people did not allow me, so they are not religious people. That thing is gone. Now a subtle divine experience descended upon her. And that was this feeling, I am grateful to everything. I am grateful to each and every soul. I am grateful to the existence. The existence is so rich. That magnanimity of the heart arose in her. So, this is an example where a person undergoes a divine experience of spirituality. And one thing to be noted here is, she was not reading scripture. She says that I have been doing sadhana, what they call chan or zen, from such a long time. At this moment, she was not reading anything. At this moment, she was not meditating. She was just lying like that. And in that moment, sudden, she gets a divine experience. Everybody of us wants to have some divine experience. We struggle hard. We strive for it. Visit in Baba's room or we spend nights in bhattis. But that is so elusive that divine anubhuti evades us. Now, when the divine experience occurred, when mind has become thoughtless, she was just lying like that. In that moment, a divine experience descended upon her. So, in this Vardhan, Baba is something talking about Soman. Soman, it is a higher consciousness. Self-respect means higher consciousness. It's such a consciousness that you develop a very different attitude towards everything. Whatever those things are happening in your life, no complaint about anything. No complaint about people, about persons, about circumstances, about places, about Maya, about Bhagya, about Niyati, about your fortune, about to God. Nothing. But for the entire existence, mind is filled with gratitude, thankfulness. And this is the actually the first step that takes you towards the higher consciousness. So there is no question that you become arrogant in any way. If in spirituality, see, they say that Gyan is Andhakar. Agyan is Andhakar. In spirituality is said, Gyan, Agyan is Andhakar. Ignorance is darkness, but Gyan is Mahandhakar. Why? Because Gyan induces ego. That's why some people say that this to be knowledgeful sometimes becomes a curse. Because person becomes arrogant. He feels that I know, you know, till the time person is Agyani, he is very humble. He falls down at the feet of his gurus and masters and other deities. He goes to temple, he learns to bow down. Now he receives knowledge. Okay? He becomes a Brahma Kumar and Brahma Kumari. And here he listens in the Murli that you are the most knowledgeful person in the world. Nobody in the world knows what you know. Baba tells you those things which nobody in the world knows. And then you learn this is soul, that I am soul, and this is supreme soul, and this is Paramdham, and this is Sukshma Vatan. And you know all those things. Now this golden age is about to come. The concept of heaven and concept of hell, what is there in the scripture, is all jargon. This is just literary jargon. In one way, somewhere, an ego is created. Then the person wants to give courses, but with the feeling that I am more knowledgeful than you. You do not know and I know. I will teach you what is God and who is God and what is a real religion. I will teach you that these are the things. You know, this subtle ego percolates within the grey matters. That's why the most important practice or abhyas is Swaman. Swaman doesn't mean ego. It is the most subtle spiritual intoxication where you have the feeling that everybody is great. You don't want to insult anybody. You don't want to belittle anybody. You don't want that. You don't have that holier than thou attitude. In English there is a word, holier than thou. I am more purer than you. I am more beautiful than you. You are ugly people. You are having bad lifestyle. You are sensual people. We are tyagis. We are tapasvis. You eat this shudra food. You are shudras and I am Brahmin. You are shudra just for the namesake. But I am Brahmin. I know who is God. Your scriptures are useless. All this bhakti, whatever you are doing, this will not help you at all. There is not an iota of truth in the bhakti which you do. Whatever you have understood till now is all bogus. Just forget everything and listen to what I teach you now. Because what I am telling is God's knowledge. That is fine, it is God's knowledge. But there is an underlying ego which is also working at the same time. You come to us, we will give you 7-day course. We will make you Gyani. If there is that amount of arrogance, probably we ourselves have not become Gyani. Gyani is a very different stage. That's why Baba Vai is saying that, understood, samjha, samjha, samjha. Probably we have not. In all likelihood, we have not. What we are calling as Gyan is not Gyan. Gyan is something else. Socrates has written that when I was a very small child, I thought that I know everything. I know everything. Then, and I wanted that others should know that I know everything. But I was unhappy that they do not know, and I used to pity them. Poor nobodies, that they do not know that I know things. They should come to me. Then he says, I became a youth. In my youth I realized, there are many things now I do not know. There are many things still remaining that I would like to know. And now, when I have become old, I have come to the realization that the more I know, the more I know that I know not. I don't know anything. And this is at this point that the Oracle of Delphi, there is a proclamation, there is a declaration that Socrates is the most, is the wisest man in the world. What time? When he comes to the realization that I do not know anything. This is in fact the stage of a jnani. When you know that I do not know anything, there are many things still I have not understood. What I have understood is just a drop of ocean. When Ananda, at one point of time, asks Buddha, maybe after the teachings of 40 years, Buddha continued teaching for 40 years. He kept on roaming around the India, and at one moment, just before the death of Buddha, Ananda asks his closest disciple, do you think that you have told all the knowledge that is there in the world in last 40 years to us? So Buddha takes him to a jungle, and in that jungle there are myriads of trees, umpteen leaves fallen down, and Buddha takes few leaves, dry leaves in his hand, and he says, you see this whole jungle, huge jungle, and you see so many leaves here. What I have taught you till now is this much handful. This is still remaining. And we feel that we have understood Murli and we have understood the knowledge Baba has given. What Baba has, or we have understood, is probably just information. What information? I am soul. He is supreme soul. He is resident of supreme abode, and this is subtle world, and this is golden age. This is information that we have achieved, understood. But we are saying that this information is knowledge. Knowledge is not this. Had this been knowledge, he would not have been teaching till now. Knowledge is so deep, such deep human psychology has been explained in all the Avyakta Murlis of 60s and 70s and 80s. Go into this and you will find there is such a deep human psychology hidden. What Sigmund Freud could not understand throughout his life has been expounded by God in all the Murlis of 70s. Such a deeper psychoanalysis, such deeper understanding of subconscious mind. Baba has explained the workings of subconscious mind without using the word subconscious mind. But in a better manner, or in the deeper manner than all the psychologists down the ages. So, what is the sign of a jnani soul? A jnani soul means one who stays in self-respect, saman, dhari. Means he is always eager to learn. Means there is no arrogance. Means there is gratitude for each and every soul. There is something to learn even from a small child. Even a child can teach you so many things which you have not which you have never learned in your great books, in your scriptures, in your murlis. Life experiences, an unlettered person who doesn't know anything, he can teach you something. So there is something to learn from each and everything, each and every soul of this world. When you come to this realization, in fact, that is the beginning of knowledge. Don't misconstrue information as knowledge. So, in today's blessing, Baba said, you get situated yourself in the self-respect. Yeah, that's fine that you are a knowledgeable soul, but then the thirst for knowledge should stay. This yearning to understand, to know, to gulp the entire ocean should always stay. A deep yearning, a deep longing to understand one father. Just 2 days back in one Murli, Baba said in Sakar Murli, unless and until his Mahavakya, his great sayings fall upon your ears, you will not understand anything. Baba is saying this for those Agyanis, that they will not understand. But it is equally true. His words should fall on our ears, but they should not fall flat on our ears. These ears should become golden vessels, so that we imbibe each and every word he has said. He is saying, that is what is the sign of a jnani soul, a yogi soul, So, staying in spiritual self-respect, always maintaining the thirst. You know, all the scriptures, all the Upanishads, from where they start? Athato Brahma Jidnyasa, Athato Bhakti Jidnyasa. This is the starting word. It means, till now something was being said, and now they say, now we will try to understand this. From there, actually such a starting should not be like this. How is the starting of most of the scriptures? Now we will try to understand what is Brahman, what is Brahma. As if something was being said. It is not being said, it is starting point. Why they said like this? Because they mean to say that whatever you have studied till now is nothing. Now you start to learn. Now you will start to understand. So this sankalpa, this thought should ever be there every day in the morning. Today, I will begin from scratch. I will try to understand knowledge in a very new light, with a new dimension. I will try to understand. Till now, whatever I understood is nothing. This is the beginning of my knowledge. Now, today is a new day for me. A new beginning, a new dimension, a new music, a new ecstasy, a new experience, a new smriti, a new awareness, a new understanding, a new comprehension. This is what we have to do. There was a man from Germany. He went to saint of Arunachal, Ramana Maharishi. And he said to Ramana Maharishi, I have come from Germany to learn from you. What Ramana Maharishi said, you know, I do not teach learning, I teach unlearning. We do not teach learning, we teach unlearning. Because you have learned many things and that is the problem. Learning is easy, unlearning is difficult. You have unlearned all the wrong things. Now the first thing is unlearn those things. Then you are teaching, then your real education will begin. So that is what we have to do. We have learned many wrong things. Our mind has grown in many wrong lanes and grooves. Bring it back to the real path, the right way. That is what is the goal of Brahmin life. So try to understand self-respect in great detail. In its minutest detail, go alone, sit in silence. Just as that Rengistu, she was sitting at night. Sit in silence, where there is a chirping of birds, where there are mountains, where there are rivers, where there is wide open sky, and where there are fluffy clouds moving around. Sit there, and then take one saman, and churn it, and go into the depth of it, and suddenly you will get a deep realization, a deeper understanding of that saman, where the words would be lost, and you will enter into the wordless world, where you will be entering into the soundless world, where you will be entering into the world without sound, the voiceless voice, the soundless sound. That is the goal of spirituality, that deep silence. In that moment lies the eternity. In that moment one achieves something which is known as nirvana, something which is known as enlightenment, something which is known as sambodhi, something which is known as satori, something which is known as beatitude, something which is known as kevala gyan, something which is known as kaivalya, something which is known as mukti, something which is known as a glimpse of moksha, something which is known as kensho, in different religions, in different words. Something which is known as Turiya Avastha. Turiya, the fourth stage. Something which George Gurdjieff calls the fourth philosophy. Something which Ramana Maharishi and something which some of the philosophers has said, the Superman stage. That moment we need to achieve. And that will come in that moment of silence, solitude, serenity. Om Shanti.